I need 6 volunteers. 3 ladies, 3 men. You don't have to come up front or anything. Come here, Dave, if you would. I just need you to fill something out real quick before we start. Before we start. There's 2 guys. There's right there. All right, I got a bunch of guys. Get 3 and 3. Just give me 3 and 3. Why? I don't know. Because we are equal opportunity. All right, you need a pen. If you're a volunteer, you need a pen. Right here, Robin. Did you get 3 ladies? You need a pen. Now, inside your envelope is, you ever seen that thing where they give you like one word, like they say one word and then Robin, you're already looking. Okay. All right, so you know how they do this thing and they say, I'll give you a word and then you give me the first word that comes to your mind, right? So they're like dog and then they say cat or whatever comes to your mind. All right, so each one of you have a word in the envelope. And I want you to look at the word, and then on the back of it, I want you to write the first thing that comes to your mind, which some of you have already looked, so it's probably like the 6th thing that's came to your mind now. So write the first thing that comes to your mind when you read that word. All right, while y'all are doing that, we're going to Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Chris, I hadn't done this in a while. I know that I evangelized for a long time. And when you start pastoring, your ministry changes. Your sermons change. And Speedy, I used to love just going around, going to a church, preach Jesus, blow in, blow up, and blow out. it was great. No responsibility. Nobody called me when they were sick. You know, it was just great. But things change, and sermons change, and messages change. But tonight, I just want to preach to you a little bit about Jesus. I don't have any axe to grind. No principle to teach you, but I want to remind you who we serve. Because when we stand before the throne, we can stand there complete because of what Jesus did. And I'm telling you, that peace. When Jesus came into the coast, of Philippi, he asked his disciples saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Next verse is, and they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You can go ahead and be seated. Man, I know it's been several years ago, but there was a thing that came about during our election, and I don't know if you remember this, but you kept hearing this thing called the silent majority. Does anybody know that term came about, the silent majority, and it made it feel like there was just this group of people that was so massive. And, oh, when the silent majority wake up, and when the silent majority do this, I guess the silent majority is still silent. And I think that presents a problem, because who cares if you're the majority if you're silent? There's a saying in maintenance, the squeaky wheel gets oiled, right? It gets the grease. The squeaky wheel gets grease. And I think the problem is a lot of people think that whatever they're doing, whatever their agenda is worth talking about. But I noticed here that when he asked, he says, who do you say that I am? That only one of them stepped up. The other 11 were silent. Nobody else said anything, but Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, I do believe that Matthew believed it. And I do believe that the other disciples believed it, but Peter voiced it. And I want to tell you something real quick. It's very important what you voice. It's very important what you say. If, and we talk about this a lot, when you're raising your kids, if you call them stupid long enough, you know what's going to happen? They're going to believe it. They're going to believe it. Now, I know there's some people that call their kids smart, and they're not, but I don't know. I don't know how to fix that part. But I do know this. If you keep giving affirmations, if you keep saying something over and over, the Bible says it like this: as a man believeth in his heart, so is he. Did everybody got their card filled out? Your word? All right, grab them for me, Dave, if you would. I want to see this because I'm interested in what comes to your mind. Hey, I'll read them in a minute. Hold on. Make y'all nervous. About there. All right, I want the rest of y'all to guess the word, because it was the same word on everybody's card. All right, Savior. Does that give it away? This one says Savior. This one also says Savior. This one says paid it all. This one says paid. This one says grace. And this one says my everything. When you think about Jesus, what comes to your mind? What's the first thing that pops in your head? What's the first concept that you think of when you think of Jesus? If you think of grace, then you probably understand the provision that's made for your sin. Would you say amen? When you say my everything, would you say that you're starting to understand that no matter what you need, that's what he is? Paid it all, our Savior. Three times Savior. I've heard Jesus preached a lot of ways, Johnny. I've heard him preached as our elder brother. I've heard him preached as this way and that way. I didn't need an elder brother. I needed a Savior. I didn't need somebody to. What I needed was somebody to save me from my sin. Because, Eric, until I'm saved from my sin, there's no way he can be a brother to me anyway. Because we understand this about Jesus. He's holy. We're unholy. He's righteous. We're unrighteous. Who do you say that I am? The message that we preach or the concept that we carry to the world, Chris, is not very popular. And it seems to me that it's even less popular now than when I first got saved. It seems to me now that they say, when we say they say, these pollsters that do these, they say that atheism is growing every year. They say that more and more people are walking away from the church. They're saying that church attendance is falling at a rapid pace. Every major denomination is reporting attendance loss. Some people say, well, I do church this way, I do. But when you look at the whole thing, it seems to me that the love of many really is waxing cold. It seems to me that now there are people that respect God and the things of God less now than ever before. But Brandon, that doesn't diminish our responsibility. We've got a responsibility, and that responsibility is take the message of Jesus to a lost and dying world. That's our responsibility. It doesn't change. No matter, I don't care how evil the world is. I see grace here in this list. Grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts and to live soberly, godly, and right. Where? In this present world. he didn't make any stipulation. He didn't say, well, if it gets real bad, it'll be okay. I'll give you a pass. It doesn't matter how evil the world is. There's still a message that will deliver that world. It doesn't matter how bound they are. There's still a name that will deliver people from their bondage. It doesn't matter how complacent they are. There is a name that will bring that person out of their complacency into life. It doesn't matter how indifferent they are. There is a name that when it's spoken with power and the anointing, it will deliver them from their bondage, their complacency, their addiction, and that name is Jesus. I told you this before, but Brother Eddie said that there was a man that said there was a lot of people back then named Jesus. So why is there power in that name? And a man responded and said, well, tell me about another one. Why don't you tell me about one of the other ones? Because this Jesus was different than any other Jesus. No, this Jesus was different than any other man. This world will try to find an argument. They will try to find a way to avoid the truth. They've been, you know what's crazy? They're still arguing today the same things they were arguing way back when. One man says, do you really believe? Do you really believe that a man can be swallowed by a whale and live 3 days? That's scientifically impossible. That's not a new argument. That argument's been around 70, 80 years. They've been arguing that argument forever. A long time. They're saying, oh, that's impossible. That's impossible. Y'all know the story. The little boy. Y'all remember the story? He writes down and the teacher says, I need you to do a story on something true that has happened. And he wrote about Jonah and the whale. His teacher came up and gave him his paper back. And she said, it's supposed to be a true story. He said, that is true. She said, you believe that a man got swallowed by a whale and lived for 3 days? He said, I do. Why do you believe that? It's in the Bible. Well, how can you prove it? He said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah. She looked at him and said, what if Jonah didn't go to heaven? He said, you can ask him then. Because this argument has been around forever. And you say it's scientifically impossible for a man to be swallowed by a whale and live 3 days. I agree with you. I completely agree with you. But I also agree it's scientifically impossible to part a Red Sea and millions of people to walk across. And I also believe it's scientifically impossible for a man to be born of a virgin. I believe it's scientific. There's a lot of things in the Bible. It's scientifically impossible to walk on water. I'm not reading this book because it's scientific. I'm reading this book because it tells me that my God is greater than your science, than your history, than all of your phenoms, anything this world has, my God is greater. You know what that tells me, Chris? It don't tell me. My God's not bound to science. I serve a miracle-working God. So if he can make a man walk on water, he can keep a man safe in the belly of a whale, the well of a belly. He can do it because that's how God is. That's how great he is. People are going to try to find an argument to avoid the scripture, and it's just going to keep going. But let's be honest. Deep down, they're looking for Jesus. You know how I know? Give me a witness. If you were looking for Jesus, and when you found him, your search stopped. Is that you? I tried a lot of things until I found Jesus. There have been times in my life, and maybe it's just me, because I know I got issues. But there have been times in my life, and maybe you too, I have been walking around looking for my phone, and it was in my hand. Anybody? Raise your hand so I know I'm not the only weird one. I was looking for my hat one day, and it was on my head. Anybody? Where's my keys? They're in your hand, Goofy. Anybody? Sometimes I think we do have what we need, and we need to stop looking for it. I need to let you know, Jason, to stop looking for it. It's not out there. It's in your hand. The Bible says it's nigh you even in your mouth. It's nigh you even. What are you speaking? If you keep speaking defeat, you're going to get defeated. But man, when you start speaking Jesus, Doug, there ain't no devil in hell that can deal with that name. Who do you say that I am? I want to know who you say that I am. Oh, people say this. People say that. You know what's really interesting? People were talking about Jesus. That's just what people do. They talk about things. I read a thing one time that's pretty interesting. It said, small-minded people talk about other people. They say, big-minded people talk about ideas or vision. And man, that makes sense. Jason, I can sit and talk about you. It's not going to do me any good. But man, when I talk about him, man, there's an idea. There's a concept that'll change something. I don't know how it works. Sister Sherry, I've tried to imagine. It's just the way God chose to do it. Why couldn't God just made it like a certain thing that you had to do or a certain, like, if you get to this point, you're saved. But he didn't choose to do it that way. He chose by the foolishness of preaching to save them that are lost. So you wonder why we come to church every Sunday. I'm going to tell you why. Because we need Jesus. And you know what's amazing about Jesus? How many people have heard Jesus preach your whole life? Raise your hand. How many people have heard Jesus preach since you was a kid? How many people have heard his name since you were? Let me ask you this. Has that name lost any power today than it did back then? You know what's amazing about this Jesus I preach is he's eternal. But the question is, who do you say that he is? In your mind, who is he? Well, he's this guy that's waiting on me to mess up so he can pop me in the head. You know what they said? They had these kids draw a picture of God. This is interesting. They said, draw a picture of God. And they said it was crazy because when the pictures came back, most of the pictures of God resembled the kid's dad. Now, I know some of you fellas, if I ask you to draw a picture of the Lord, you would draw your wife. But when... it's amazing that the authority figure in their life was who they related God to. How many of us do that? How many of us relate God to authority? How many of us relate God to punishment? Because we started out by talking about the throne. How many people are like Mara in the Bible? The Lord has dealt bitterly with me. How many people are like that? God has beat me up pretty bad. Because your concept of Jesus is everything. Let me say that again. Your concept of Jesus is everything. We got a concept of church. We got some people that have a relationship with church, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus. There are people that have a relationship with the pastor, with the type of music. I was talking to Aaron the other day, and we were talking about types of music, and he's evolving or regressing, whichever way you want to look at it. We were talking about types of music. How many people in here like Southern gospel? Raise your hand. How many people like country gospel? There was a station in Princeton, and I can't remember the exact whatever they are, WW, whatever, that with KZ or whatever, and they were called Sin Kicking Country. And they played these country kind of Christian songs. How many people like contemporary? I told Aaron, I said, you know what's going to happen to you, man? I said, there's going to be these young musicians that come up years to come, and you're going to want to play rattle. And they're going to look at you and say, man, nah, man, don't, let's not play that old stuff, man. That's junk. And I said, I can't wait till that day happens. Till they look at you and say, oh, man, I don't want to hear Reckless Josh. Come on, get out of that old stuff. This is a new, but here's what I told him. I said, man, I'm not married to any style of music. But if the words are about Jesus, I'll raise my hand. As long as it's about Jesus, I'll worship with you. I don't care if it's sin-kicking country. I don't care if it's Bride. I don't care. As long as it's if y'all know who Bride is, that's like Christian metal. You can't even understand them. I'm not even sure that that's even allowed. Because when you listen to it, somebody said, what do you think about Christian metal? I said, I got one thing. I think if you got a message, you want it to be heard and understood. And I have a hard time understanding that. Amen? Listen to what I just said. If you got a message, you want it to be heard. And you want it to be understood. Sometimes, you know what we need to do, Brandon? We need to take the message of Jesus and make it heard and make it understood. Now, how do you make it understood? You make it understood by the way you live. This concept bothers me, Jason. You need to live right because you may be the only Bible people will ever read. The problem with that concept is this. Your life can't help them. I don't care how good you live, your life can't help them. I read a thing that said, hey, you know, some people may never come to church and never read the Bible. Some people will never step foot in a church or never read a Bible. Your life, if they're not willing to hear the word of God, they can't be saved. I don't care how good you live. Can you lead them to that? Yes, but there must come a point that they are willing to hear the word of God and adhere to it, not by your living. There's one person's life that saved them, and it ain't yours. Oh, now, the reason you live right and the reason that you are a witness is not to save them. It's because you love the Savior that saved you, and you do what you do because Jesus paid it all for you and you got a debt of gratitude. Amen. Is Jesus the reason you do what you do? It's not popular, but man, it's powerful. I said it's not popular, but it's powerful. I'm looking. Chris, we started praying. We want 100 souls saved this year. 100. I know I said that wrong. That's how this little girl used to say at school when it was so cute. 100. We need 100 souls saved. We're praying for that. 2 already. You say, man, that's a long way to go. Hey, look, that's 98. That's way gooder than when we started. 100. 100. What are you going to do with them? I don't know yet. I don't know where we'll put them on Sunday. We talked about building another layer, but we're going to do something. We're going to do something. We'll go to 2 services. We'll go to whatever we got to do. We're after souls. We're after souls. Let me tell you what we're going to give those souls, Jesus. Let me tell you what they need, Jesus. What we got to do is get them to Jesus, get them to have a relationship with Jesus, get them to fall in love with Jesus, and get them to start expanding the kingdom of Jesus. Can you say amen? Because what we need, and man, I am praying. And you know what I'm praying for? On top of the 100 souls, I'm praying for a revival in our youth. A lot of them MIA tonight, but it's okay. We're praying for a revival in our youth. Who's going to do it? Who's going to step out? Who's going to step up? I tell you who's going to do it. Somebody that's in love with Jesus. Somebody that deems him more worthy than the things they got to go through to give him his praise. Let me say that again. We need a fire ignited in our heart that we take Jesus to the world, no matter how uncomfortable it is, no matter how awkward it feels, no matter how they receive it, you got an obligation to give them Jesus. Because let me tell you, somebody's looking for him. Who do you say that Jesus is? He's my everything. He's my everything. Is he your everything? Is he everything you need? Is he everything you want? Because what happens is sometimes we get sidetracked from who Jesus is and we try to find pleasure outside of him, have him forgive us for that pleasure, and then run back to him for safety. That is way better than y'all reacted. Let me say it like this. We want to be delivered from the penalty of sin, but we don't always want to be delivered from the power of sin. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying we go over here and we say, hey, Lord, I need a little time off for bad behavior. And you sin, and then you're like, man, you know what? I better get back over here in the safe spot. Forgive me, Jesus. Now I'm safe again. I'll do better. Come on, preacher. I think I will. Because we step over. Let me tell you when we really know who Jesus, when our pleasure is in him. When we find pleasure in him. John Piper says it like this: God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in him. God is most glorified when we are most satisfied. This old lady told me one time, she looked at me and she said, I don't know what's wrong with you kids. We used to pray all the time. I said, oh yeah? She said, all the time. Y'all kids don't, y'all don't want to pray or do anything like that anymore. I said, who'd you pray with? She said, we prayed with the elders. I said, well, you just told me you used to pray, so that means the elders ain't praying anymore, so who do we pray with? I know it was a smart aleck thing to say, but she came at me, and I defended my generation well. Who are you praying with? What do you think about Jesus? When you pray, do you know who you're talking to? So let me ask you this. Am I asking too much of God when I say, I want 100 souls? If he could save 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. Tracy was talking the other day, Chris, and she said, Damon, there's 2 out of 100. We're going to have some revivals. We need revival. We need revival. You know what we need? We need God to move. And you know how he's going to move? Is when we get hungry. When we get hungry and know the power of his name, paid it all, Savior, 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 he's my Savior, paid it all. Who do you say that he is? What's Jesus to you? What are you going to do for him? There's your questions. There it is. Who do you say that? If you could have filled that out tonight, what would you have written? When I say Jesus, what do you think about? Well, I think about this Jewish fella in sandals, robe. And he had long hair and blue eyes, and he was so cute. I've seen pictures. That's not him. That's not him. When you see him, what are you looking at? Man, I'm ready, Brandon. I'm ready. Ready to step out, step up, because I believe in Jesus. When you pray in the name of Jesus. Do you know what that means? That's not a closing to your prayer. And in the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. That's not a closing. That's not like signing off. When you pray in the name of Jesus, you pray in his stead through his power. You're not praying in your power. We have a prayer line, Chris. I don't, in the name of Damon. That's not going to get you anything. The disciples healed through what? The name of Jesus. So when you pray in him, my confidence is in him. My hope is in him. My power is in him. Come on, Aaron. Who do you say that he is? Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Christos, the anointing. You're the anointed one. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Man, how powerful is that? Next verse. Give me that next verse, Shane, if you would. We'll close up with this. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Some things can be taught. Some things have to be caught. What do you mean by that? I can teach you about Jesus, but he has to be revealed to you. The only way you can know who Jesus is through revelation. Can you say amen? You can tell people about him. You got any lost people in your house? You got any lost people in your family? You try to tell them about Jesus and they just don't see it? Most of them, I feel like, that I witness to, this is just my consensus, I think that they're putting it off until they get closer to death. That's just what I feel like. I feel like most people that I'm witnessing to, they feel like they're going to get saved eventually. Does anybody else get that? You just feel like they're putting it off till later. Just putting it off. You know what we need, Leslie? We need him saved now. You know what we need? We need God to move on him now. You know what we need to do? We need to pray for him now. 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 So right now, I'm gonna go back to my Baptist roots. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. Man, this was the end of every service. I want to ask you a question right now. Are you ready for a greater revelation of who Jesus is? If you are, would you just slip your hand up? That's me. That's me. I want a greater revelation. I know him. I know him. But I want to know him more. 14 years into his ministry, Paul said that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. If you got somebody lost in your family that you need to witness to, I want you to start praying for them right now. Man, this works, people. This works. This works. Would you call on the name of the Savior, full of grace? Would you call on him and ask them to draw them in?